Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Friday. It finally is Friday, the last day of the week. Hope that you're having a great start to your day and that wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are in line to have a wonderful weekend. Now, let's be honest. I can understand it being a bit disappointing that the Grizzly season ended on Wednesday, but there is so much to be excited about from how this season ended for the Grizzlies, and even more reason to be excited today after the unexpected but definitely enjoyable news nugget that we got from the franchise that carries great significance for the present and the future. We will get more into that in the first segment of today's show. In the second segment, going to look at just how much of an historical debut both Ja Morant and Dillon Brooks had in their first playoff series in their careers, both in terms of the Grizzlies franchise and the NBA itself. And then in the third segment, we'll look at some lineup combinations that both worked and did not work against the Jazz and what that could mean for this roster as we go into the offseason. Of course, my name is Sean Coleman. I've been covering the Grizzlies for 3 years over with the wonderful crew at Grizzly Bear Blues, have been the Locked On Podcast or Locked On Grizzlies host now for over a year. I'm a credentialed media member with the Grizzlies. We will have the end of the year media sessions with the coaching staff, Zach Kleiman, and the players today. I'll bring you all the news from that as soon as we conclude those sessions. But that's the great thing about the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's the one source of the latest Grizzlies news, insights, perspectives, and honest truth that you literally can access every day. Your Grizzlies every day here at Locked On Grizzlies. And you can find the podcast wherever it is available. We also want to make sure that you know that the title sponsor of our day's show is Michelob Ultra. Today's show is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Moment segment coming up later in the episode. So obviously we'll get into some takeaways from the Grizzlies series against the Utah in this generation of the Grizzlies' first playoff experience. But the big news, and possibly one of, if not the most significant move this team may make this offseason, it actually happened on Thursday. Their first move of the offseason for the Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies announced that they had entered into a long-term contract extension slash agreement with Executive Vice President and General Manager Zach Kleiman. Now, obviously, it's great to see that. And on the surface, it makes sense because of how successful Zach Kleiman has been. But I do think that this carries a bit more significance for a variety of reasons than it may appear on the surface. For one, it establishes structure and recognizes success. That is something that this organization has put a high priority on from the front office to its coaching staff to its roster ever since Zach Kleiman came in to be in the major decision maker for the franchise and hired Taylor Jenkins as coach. This franchise is going to reward those who put effort into what the franchise is trying to do. You see the contract extensions that Dillon Brooks got last year, that DeAnthony Melton got last year, the contracts that Jontay Porter and John Conchar got last year, the fact that Xavier Tillman got a 4-year contract despite being a second-round rookie pick. This franchise wants to take care of everybody that's involved with it, from the front office to the coaching staff to the players. And the reason why it wants to do that is because it knows the value of having a great structure is just as important as having a great product on the court. Especially considering that over the past 10 to 15 years, this franchise has been far from a stable and secure franchise. This is the second straight offseason in which the Grizzlies are going to be able to go into it without there being any concern of any changes in leadership. You have to go back to the Dave Yeager era from 2016 to the end of the 2015, or from 2013 to the end of the 2015-2016 season. You have to go back to the second half of the grit and grind era to really have a time where this Grizzlies team had any sort of continuity before now. And the continuity then is nowhere near as strong as it is now. So one big takeaway from this extension for Zach Kleiman is establishing a structure of success by recognizing the success that he has had. The other major positive from this is that the Grizzlies have established that they are putting trust into a source in Zach Kleiman that has done nothing but be successful with his decisions when it comes to rebuilding this roster and making it successful for the long term. Building a roster around Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. that not only will be successful long term, but hopefully will continue to grow in terms of its potential to not only become a sustainable winner, but perhaps a title contender in time. And that is so huge for a small market. The Grizzlies just played the Utah Jazz in a playoff series. A Jazz team that is in one of the smaller markets in the NBA besides Memphis, but a team that was the best team in the NBA this year and arguably is playing like the best team in the NBA right now. The Grizzlies played a version of a franchise that they have realistic potential to be in 3 to 5 years. But a part of that equation, just as important a part of the equation for the Grizzlies to get where the Jazz are, is having a competent front office that is both creative and intelligent in building a winner. That's just as important as the stars that the Grizzlies have, you know, lucked into, in all honesty, in Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. But luck has to be supported by logic. And the Grizzlies coming to this agreement with Zach Kleiman shows a commitment from Kleiman to the organization and from the organization to Kleiman for a competent front office to be in Memphis for an extended period of time to make the most of building around talents this franchise has never had before. This extension is going to be, in my mind, one of the most memorable moments of this era, because I think that now with Zach Kleiman, without question, being in charge for the foreseeable future, that is a big domino. That is a big piece of the puzzle that's going to allow for this roster, led by Morant and Jackson Jr., to reach the potential many of us have, that it could have unprecedented success compared to the rest of the Grizzlies franchise history. So the fact that the Grizzlies have been able to identify a lead decision maker in Kleiman who is competent and who can make the right decisions to build a sustainable winner in a small market and now have him locked in for an extended period of time in the future, that is a huge development. Competent front offices are a lot of times the difference between a small market being able to make the most of talents that it's never having before versus not having a competent front offices ruining a small market having talents it's never had before. Look at Milwaukee and Utah as example with competent front offices. Meanwhile, look at New Orleans and how they couldn't make things work with Anthony Davis. Zach Kleiman being locked in gives the Grizzlies a much better chance to wind up with futures like Milwaukee or Utah than like the future New Orleans experience or the time New Orleans experienced with Anthony Davis. And beyond establishing structure and recognizing success, and beyond now knowing that it has a competent front office to make the most of the opportunities that the Grizzlies have with Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., is that this extension keeps the Sharks away. On Wednesday, we saw what we see every year. We saw one of the bigger brands in the NBA have a major shakeup in their front office. Danny Ainge leaving the Celtics, Brad Stevens moving into their lead decision-maker role, and them seeking a head coach. You see it every single season. Multiple organizations going through unexpected shakeup. And when that occurs, those bigger brands look to successful minds in smaller markets to come to the bigger brands and repeat the success that they had in their smaller markets. In other words, if we were to see this happen in other places such as Portland, now that they're eliminated from the playoffs, Zach Kleiman moves to the top of the list for bigger brands in the NBA to potentially target to take him away from the Grizzlies. But now with this agreement in place, that becomes far less likely. As a matter of fact, it's not likely at all. That's what this extension does. That's what this agreement does. It eliminates the potential that Zach Kleiman could move on to another opportunity. That was never likely to begin with, but it's always nice to have as much certainty as possible that the man who has been responsible for hiring Taylor Jenkins, for using logic to play a part in drafting Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, and building this franchise, making the most of trades, it's nice to know he's committed to seeing that process through and making the most of the situation here in Memphis instead of there potentially every year being the threat of him going on somewhere else. You never know what the future holds, but to gain as much certainty for the future in the present as you can, with as important of a piece as Zach Kleiman is to the present and future of the Grizzlies in Memphis, that's what the significance of this extension means. And that's why it's very exciting to know what the future holds with Zach Kleiman being in place to make the decisions both now and into the foreseeable future. It's a really exciting development, one that many probably expected in time, but it's nice to know that it's now been taken care of and we can move forward to see what's in store this offseason as this Grizzlies team continues to build off yet another season of better than expected success. Well, two reasons why this season was obviously better than expected were the amazing ends to the season that Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks experienced in their playoff debuts. Coming up, we're going to discuss just how historic Ja and Dylan's playoff performances were over the past few weeks. It's time to identify the Ultra Moment of the Week presented by Michelob Ultra. This is a brand new segment brought to you by our partners in Michelob Ultra. And when in this playoff performances that the Grizzlies had over the past few weeks, it was really tough to identify a performance to single out above all the others. But at the end of the day, it comes down to Ja Morant. He was named the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week in our last episode. Now he is the reason for the Ultra Moment of the Week, and that was his 47-point performance in Game 2 against the Utah Jazz. The singular best performance a Grizzlies player has ever had in a game. The most points ever scored by a Grizzlies player, and absolutely a historic performance for someone as young as Ja Morant. And the thing is that seeing him play to that level, it brought so much joy and excitement and happiness to not only his teammates, but the fans, and to fans of the NBA in general, knowing that a player that it seems everybody loves was stepping into the spotlight and starting to show his superstar potential. That's why it's our Ultra Moment of the Week. And the thing that I can tell you is this, is that it's only worth it if you enjoy it. And for Ja Morant, the only reason why it's worth it for him to consistently play his best against the best competition and on the biggest stages is because he enjoys being in that moment with his teammates. And you can enjoy a Michelob Ultra anytime that you get to watch Ja Morant or the NBA playoffs in general. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. One of the things that fuels Ja Morant is the enjoyment of playing with the teammates that he loves to be on this roster with, and that's what allows for him to step up and deliver when it's needed the most. Make sure the next time you watch Ja or any NBA playoffs, you enjoy it with a nice glass of Michelob Ultra. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all the joy in the games a little bit more this season. We will have another special episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast coming up this weekend as we will detail all the major news coming from the Grizzlies end of the session, the Grizzlies end of the season media sessions with the players, coaches, and likely newly extended Executive Vice President Zach Kleiman. That will happen later on today. Next week, I also will have some fun guests who will join me for several editions of season reviews, talking with some of the folks who cover the team locally that we have had on before, getting their perspectives on just how special this season has been, obviously how special the past few weeks has been. So plenty of fun content coming up for you as we begin the offseason with the Memphis Grizzlies through the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. But of course, we also want to talk about all the fallout from the Grizzlies series versus the Utah Jazz. And I know that I've talked about it multiple times during the playoff series, but now that the series is complete, certainly want to take a moment to recognize the absolutely amazing performances by both Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks in their playoff debuts. Both Ja and Dylan, in my opinion, clearly were two of the top 20 performers in the first round of the playoffs in this year's NBA playoffs. As a matter of fact, Ja Morant, through his efforts, finished 7th in the NBA playoffs this year in scoring, averaging 30.2 points on 48.7% shooting, and also averaged 8.2 assists. Dylan Brooks actually was 13th in scoring, as he averaged 25.8 points on 51.5% from the field, 40% shooting the three, and just an absolutely, you know, consistent effort, at least trying to play defense in this series, though it was not as effective as it was, obviously, in the play-in tournament. But the thing about it is this, is that it's not just that Ja and Dylan's performances were impressive. It's the fact that they were truly historic, both in terms of the Grizzlies franchise and the NBA as a whole on several different levels. For instance, with their performances in their debut playoff round, Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks both are now a part of the top five highest scoring totals that a Grizzlies player has ever produced in a playoff round. Through the history of the Grizzlies franchise, the most points scored by an individual in a playoff series is Zach Randolph with 160, Ja Morant with 151, Mike Conley with 148, Rudy Gay with 133, and Dylan Brooks with 129 points. Morant and Brooks' totals came from their amazing performances against the Jazz. And when you think about it, what even makes it more impressive is that Morant finished 9 points short of Zach Randolph's franchise record for most points by a Grizzlies player in a single playoff series. But Z-Bo produced his 160 points in 292 minutes over 7 games. Ja Morant, his 151 points were produced in 203 minutes over 5 games. Dylan Brooks' 129 minutes were produced in, or 129 points were produced in 175 minutes. That's how consistently productive offensively both Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks were this series. In terms of NBA history, it gets even more fun. Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks became just the second pair of teammates in NBA history to score 20 or more points in each of their first 5 career playoff games. That's only been done one other time in a playoff debut for a pair of teammates. The only other time that occurred was with Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker in the 2002 playoffs with the Boston Celtics. So as a duo, Ja and Dylan created history. But that's just the beginning when it comes to Ja Morant. Ja also is just the third player at the age of 21 or younger to score 20 or more points in each of his first 5 career playoff games. The other two, LeBron James and Donovan Mitchell. Even more exciting for Ja Morant is the fact that his scoring and playmaking were also historically amazing for a player in his playoff debut. Ja Morant scored 151 points over the 5 games in this playoff series. Scored 151 points and produced 42 assists. The only players in NBA history who have produced 150 or more points and 40 or more assists in 5 or less games in a playoff series is this amazing group of NBA players. Oscar Robertson, Luka Doncic, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Allen Iverson, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, who did it twice, and Michael Jordan, who did it twice. The Big O, Luka, Dame, Russ, LeBron, MJ, Iverson, and Magic. And one other person, Ja Morant. That's the group that Ja Morant's debut playoff performance puts him in. And what's even more amazing is that not only is Ja the youngest player to ever produce that feat in his playoff debut, he's not only the youngest person to ever produce that type of production, scoring and passing in a playoff series in five games or less, he's the only one to do it in his playoff debut of that group. So that is what is so special about Ja Morant's performance. And the thing is that it's actually Dylan Brooks who's in a group of his own based off his playoff performance. Dylan Brooks is the only player in NBA history through his first five playoff games to average 25 points, 50% from the field, and 40% from three, while shooting 20 or more three-point shots. That's it. Nobody has been able to shoot the three and score at the level that Dylan did in his playoff debut in NBA history. I'm not saying he's had the most impressive playoff debut. And yes, this is getting pretty specific with statistical queries, but it shouldn't take away from the fact that on many multiple levels, the overall performances of Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks were absolutely spectacular. They absolutely far exceeded any expectations that any of us probably logically had for what they could do. And though every bit of it was needed to make this series competitive, the fact once again that both Ja and Dylan could raise their games to the levels that they did while consistently playing the best team in the NBA offers so much excitement for the future. Not only in terms of what Ja could be, in terms of how quickly he could truly become a superstar, but also of how big of a role Dylan Brooks could play for the future of this franchise as well. It's obviously quite exciting. The other thing, though, that stands out from this series is that the Grizzlies obviously were productive when Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks were on the court together. But beyond that, what lineup combinations succeeded and what lineup combinations struggled, and what does that potentially mean going into this offseason from this playoff series for a franchise that truly wants to continue to make the playoffs going forward? We'll look into that a bit more in the third segment of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The calendar has officially turned to June, and that means that summer officially begins this month. And that likely means that if you have not already been out and about more often and started to travel more as well as we get out of the pandemic and things are starting to get back to a bit normal, in general, it means that you're likely going to need your car to be as reliable as possible, and that may mean that repairs are needed. And if car parts are needed, the one place that has you covered is rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is great because it's very easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you easily can find what you need, and you're likely going to find what you need regardless of the make and model or the parts that are needed because of the depth that rockauto.com has in its inventory. Whether you're someone like me who needs others to do car repairs for you, you do your own car repairs, or you do car repairs in general for a living, rockauto.com is a great source. This is a family-owned business. They know that car parts typically fall out of budgets, and since they've been in business for over 20 years, they try to make things as economically feasible as possible to make things easy on you. When you visit rockauto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Obviously, the other thing about summer is that you want to be in as good a health as possible to be able to be outdoors and enjoy the great weather. Well, one way to do that is not you know, necessarily every day running a marathon or biking 50 miles. It's just simply making small yet significant changes to what you eat on a daily basis. And a great way to start is a healthy snack, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It also is very versatile. You can have it in the morning for breakfast, have it in the afternoon as a snack. Whenever you choose to enjoy Built Bar, it's going to taste great and give you health benefits that are going to be there to stay. If you go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order, and also you have 18 different flavors to choose from, so your taste preferences are likely going to be met. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, choose from one of the 18 flavors, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, an embarrassing exit for the Lakers. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So if you go back to game one, especially not this past week, but the week before, something that I had talked about that really stood out as being successful for the Grizzlies during games one and two in Utah. And it was because of the play of Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks mainly. But the quartet of Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, and Ja Morant, they had been a really successful quartet together throughout much of the season, and they were producing at their best as a quartet because Dylan and Ja were playing their best basketball of the season once the regular season ended. At one point, you know, in game one, for instance, through 28 minutes of playing together, that quartet had a 22 net rating. But of course, that eventually went down as the Jazz adjusted. And this was why the Jazz were such a good litmus test. It allowed for the Grizzlies to get an idea of just how successful their starting lineup could be when the best team in the NBA started making adjustments against that starting lineup as it faced it over and over and over. Well, the results are as you expected. After game one, the Grizzlies quartet of Dylan, Ja, Kyle, and Jonas had a net rating of a positive 22. By the end of game five, that quartet had a net rating of a negative 4.2. That's what happens once the Jazz got back Donovan Mitchell and how well they played. That's nothing really negative to take away from the series. I mean, yes, it is a negative, but it's not anything unexpected. It was expected to happen that the effectiveness of the Grizzlies starting lineup would go down as the Jazz adjusted to it and its strengths. But one thing that started to become a bit more evident and a bit more revealing in regards to this Grizzlies lineup was that the idea of starting Jaren with Jonas along with Kyle, Dylan, and Ja, though it had some success at the end of the regular season, it was not that successful in the playoffs. In 63 total minutes played together as a starting lineup in the playoff series against the Jazz, the starting lineup of the Grizzlies with Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Ja Morant, in 63 total minutes played together, that unit had a negative 18.9 net rating. Their offensive rating was 119.7, which is very good. Their defensive rating was 138.6, obviously horrible. And the thing about it is this, is that the reason why it just simply was not working is because in a too big setup on defense against the pick and roll attack and the perimeter efficient attack of the Jazz is incredibly hard to defend when you have two bigs on the court. It just didn't work out for the Grizzlies when they had Jaren and Jonas defending the Jazz, especially at the start of those first quarters and as the series progressed each game, you know, as we progress further and further into the series. The overall starting lineup and the idea of having two bigs on the court at the same time just was not working. The reason why, you didn't have enough shooting on offense because Jaren's shot was not falling and Dylan was not getting enough opportunities himself. The Grizzlies just could not match what the Jazz were doing, especially with the starting lineup that they had. And the two bigs just did not have the perimeter impact defensively that you needed for the Grizzlies to in any way, shape, or form stifle the Jazz's attack when it came to offense. But what was pretty eye-opening is that when the Grizzlies replaced Jaren Jackson Jr. with Desmond Bane, though it was a small sample size, the Grizzlies' effectiveness as a five-man lineup with Bane along with Ja, Dylan, Kyle, and Jonas instead of Jaren with those four, there was a clearly significant improvement in the Grizzlies' effectiveness. While the quartet of players that, you know, we mentioned along with Jaren had a negative 18.9 net rating in this series, with Desmond Bane in the 12 minutes that Desmond Bane played with that quartet of starters that had been there all season, the Grizzlies had a 102.8 positive net rating, fueled by a defensive rating of 69.2. Now, that was over 12 minutes. Obviously, way too small of a sample size to put any relevance on, but it does suggest that the Grizzlies were more effective with Ja at point, another combo guard or three wings, what have you, and one true big on the court when it came to defending the Jazz. And that is a significant development for this Grizzlies team because it makes them realize that having only one big on the court appears to be the way to go and appears to be the more successful approach in the playoffs. Now, you can only put so much emphasis, or you can only take so much away from these small sample sizes, but logic always assumed that was going to be the case. Jonas's overall impact was neutralized in this playoff series because of his defensive shortcomings, because of how efficient the Jazz were, and because he was playing alongside Jaren. The two things that stand out when you take Jaren out of the lineup and you were to put in a Bane or a Grayson Allen is that the shooting, at least for now, improves. And that was certainly needed by this Grizzlies team in this series against the Jazz. The three-point shooting. But also the perimeter defense improves as well. And what does that get us back to that I've talked about many times this season? The Grizzlies doing what they can to put themselves in the best position to both shoot and defend the three. And so that's why you saw Taylor Jenkins start to stagger a bit of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s minutes with substitutions, so that it would be one big with Jonas in the lineup as the first quarter progressed, and then right after that, it would be Jaren Jackson Jr. coming in to play the five with a smaller lineup. Now, you need combinations of wings and guards. You're going to have to still have size, but it's going to have to be a lineup that can effectively impact the perimeter, that can effectively guard the perimeter instead of having two bigs when it comes to the playoffs. And that is something that is relevant for this Grizzlies roster going into this offseason. I'm not necessarily suggesting that that means that it's going to impact extension talks with Jaren, or it's going to lead to a trade of Jonas, or it's going to, you know, lead to a big, big trade for a true all-star level type talent as a two-way player. I'm not saying any of that is likely. I'm just saying when we start talking about what is more relevant, the data from the season, which obviously is much more, a much larger sample size in its own right versus the data that we see in the playoffs, which carries more relevance going forward? I think they both carry relevance in their own right. And while I don't think any drastic changes should be made to this roster based off one playoff series, because this team is so young and they're just in the beginning of coming together as a roster to hopefully be a sustainable winner, I do think that it validates to the franchise and to the coaching staff as to how their approach needs to change going forward, which is prioritizing shooting and perimeter defense in the playoffs, especially against a team like the Jazz, who were good at both. That's the relevance of these numbers. That's the relevance of the lineup combinations that succeeded and the lineup combinations that struggled. Obviously, there's some consolidation that's going to occur at some point in time. Whether that be another front court piece, another wing piece, or another backcourt piece, we'll see in time. But obviously, it shows that it once again clearly comes to the top. It clearly emerges that the one big area that this Grizzlies team has to show improvement in if it wants to continue to progress as a playoff contender and as a sustainable winner. To the point to where over the next few years, it can host playoff games and it can advance in the playoffs, is that this roster has to get much better shooting and defending the three. And that should be one of the biggest areas of improvement and biggest areas of focus when it comes to the evolution of this roster going forward. That's nothing new. And you have a piece that you certainly are hoping helps out in that area with Jaren Jackson Jr. and him going into a healthy offseason, ending the season like he did on a high note. You hope that his development impacts both of those areas because it certainly can. An improved version of Jaren Jackson Jr. as a defender and as a shooter helps both those areas. But it's adding to that in the starting lineup where big decisions are going to be made in the near future, and they must be made for this team to get to where it wants to get to. So a lot of fun seeing the Grizzlies make the commitment that they did to Zach Kleiman. It was a lot of fun seeing how historic Ja and Dylan were, and it's also going to be a lot of fun to see how the Grizzlies make tweaks to this roster based off the data accumulation they got in the regular season and the postseason this offseason. My name's Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure it's been a pleasure talking with you today on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, as it always is. We will be back with another special edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, breaking down all the information that we discuss, all the topics that will be discussed in today's end of the season media sessions. Don't forget, you can find the podcast wherever it's available. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, hope you have a great Friday. Hope you have a great day. Go Grizzlies, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.